Welcome, everyone, to All About Windows Phone Insight podcast 171, recording this on Thursday, the 25th of February, 2016. I'm Steve Litchfield. Rafe Blandford is in at MWC in Barcelona, prowling the halls, which means I've got a stand-in, another stand-in, Jason Snowden. Hi there, Jason.
Hello, everyone, and thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. It's a 30-second précis.
So I wouldn't consider myself an overly technical sort of at the end of flashing things, but I work in the UK government, so I'm a bit of an analyst, a bit of a data freak. I've been along the line of various Nokia smartphones in the years and followed them into Windows, and I've still managed to keep on going with my 950.
Keep on going. You've only had it for 2 months.
Well, I meant along the Windows line. I mean, yeah. I know I think some people have... perhaps become more disillusioned than I.
Well done. So you've got a 950. I've got both here, and I have had a few issues, which have been largely documented on the site. We've got a brand new firmware update arrived this evening as we're recording this, hopefully sorting out some of the low-level stability issues. But just give us your overview of how you've been getting on with Windows 10 Mobile, and you're on just the straightforward production line, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah, and I think I suppose a key issue as well is that I never went for another phone on Windows 10. So I went straight from a 1020 on 8.1. I went straight to the 950 Windows 10. So I think for me, I probably felt a lot of the updates and what seemed like improvements that were really just Windows 10 that perhaps other people felt with the 930. So a lot of the things like the added shortcut keys at the top on the swipe down, the inline messaging in the notification pane on the toast pane, they all felt quite new and interesting and good to me. But generally, I think I've been one of the luckier ones, really. I've had the occasional slightly non-responsive, but nothing, only one or two really major issues. And generally, it's been really, really stable. It is my main phone. It is my only phone. And I've only had one black Saturday when it really died on me. And that was after a lot of commenting about how well it was doing. So I'm sure there's something of fate in there. And that's where it did brick out for a day, and I had to reset it. But as I did before, I reset it from a previous backup from my 1020, and it's worked absolutely fine. I would say, you know, as ever, there's the issues of certain third-party apps being a bit slow, and obviously you can't deny that, you know, there's some of the styling issues that you go, even those apps that do work don't obviously have the Windows 8 or 8.1 styling. They don't have the Windows 10, so that feels a little bit jarring. But it's just amazing to me how much quicker the main apps are, the mail app, messaging, the kind of things that I used to have little shortcuts to create a new message or a new email. I don't bother anymore because opening the app and doing it from the app is actually much quicker. So I'd say generally I'd probably in the top quartile of having a good experience with a 950 and with Windows 10.
Yeah, of course, the poor old 1020, the processor is about a 20th the speed of the Snapdragon 808 in your 950. So it's not really fair to say that 950 is faster and blame that on the OS. I think it's mainly the chipset.
No, absolutely. I agree with that. And I suppose it shows the age of the device. I mean, the 1020 was also being pushed to its last iteration. Obviously, as you've put on the site, it may be that 8.1 is as far as it can really go, particularly with the nuances and speciality of that camera. But yeah, just as an experience out of the box, my 1020 on 8.1, it was getting a little bit slow and clunky, and it was feeling its age. I feel with my 950, it feels like it's quick and it is generally very snappy. That's not to say I've not got a couple of bugbears. I think my main bugbear would be just the fast forward and pause buttons. They're just not as responsive. So I use a headset with the sort of keys on it that I think you give us some tips for, where if you do a double click, it'll go forward, and a triple click, it'll go back. And it's just not responsive enough to be able to do that, which is a little bit of a frustration, but it's not a major issue. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the only other thing I would say is definitely in terms of the styling, I think that the biggest real thing they've got to try and smooth out is the difference between the Outlook Mail app and the rest of it, in terms of cut, copy, paste, and some of the way that the keyboard works. It is slightly different. That is a sort of major difference. But other than that, you know, to me, as I say, the benefits that Windows 10 is bringing to me is far outweighing any of those small quirks.
Have you had the bug? This is kind of a personal thing, but I'm assuming it's widespread, whereby you go into the settings application, which of course I go into quite a bit, fiddling with things and checking for updates, and the settings pane gets totally frozen, and you have to kill it from the multitasking carousel. Has settings ever frozen on you? No,
I've never had settings frozen, and similarly. Particularly, even since, as you get different updates for the, glance screen, and there are various bits of updates where I've gone into settings and changed stuff. And Windows Hello as well, when I've had updates, you also have to reset Hello a few times, or because I wear glasses like yourself, or I've reset the Hey Cortana, going into settings quite a lot. I've never had settings freeze on me. Very recently, I've had the start screen disappear once. But I'm sure that's just because I was coming on here.
How are you getting on with the Windows Hello thing? Because my glasses, and Richard Yates has sent in some contributions here, including the fact that he wears varifocals the same as me. And I'm wondering whether just sort of standard glasses kind of work okay, but varifocals really confuse the iris recognition. What about you?
Yeah, well, mine are not varifocal. And I have tried doing that extra setup with the glasses. I find it's almost, it kind of works for a few days and then it doesn't work. And then it works for a few days, then it doesn't work. And I find it's one of those things. I have an awesome lock screen on my app, which gives you the weather for the next 5 days. So I give it time for me to check the weather for the next couple of days. And if that's not worked, then I'll swipe up and log in. I think it's one of those things where it's actually really cool when it does work. I know that's probably sad to say, but it kind of feels really kind of quite nice and futuristic for it to do that. So trying to get it to work is really cool when it does, but when it doesn't, yeah, it does feel a bit clunky to have to go back into and enter your code. But I suppose they are labelling it as beta. We can only hope that they're taking the data, they're going to use that and obviously improve it as time goes forward. I don't know if you've put anything into any of the feedback on specifically on varifocals. That might be a particular issue they need to look at.
That's a jolly good idea. I have put a load of stuff in via feedback, and I'm sure all of us are gradually helping shape the OS, but there's still quite a few long-standing issues that have remained unaddressed. The battery life, how are you getting several features on battery life in terms of the drain per hour? What's your status?
Yeah, again, I would say it's not as good as... It's slightly below where my 1020 was, and that was a 2-year-old device, so that's probably not a good benchmark. So you would expect to be better being a new device. But what I would say is I did have a single incident not so long back where I'd forgotten to plug it in overnight as I would normally, and it was left running. It had Wi-Fi on, even though the Wi-Fi was, the router was off. And overnight, over 7 hours, it only lost 13%. Obviously, that's just one data point. There's no way you could ever extrapolate even that for the phone I've got, much less for others, but I do kind of feel like I'm in a little bit of a halo, that I've got this sort of, somehow I've got something that seems to be optimized, or a bit of luck in there that it seems to be working better. Because I know from your previous test, I think you did one recently on the site where you showed it was losing about 6 to 7% an hour, whereas the 1020 was around 2 to 3%, which is more in line with the example I just gave there. So I don't know. So generally, I think ever since reading your remarks on battery life now and the cycles now, I've got to keep it charged. I'm a bit of a battery paranoid. I always have it. It never gets below 50%. My family will tell you if it's getting below 50%, I'm running back to the car to get it plugged in, or reaching for my backup charger.
I think basically it depends on how much stuff you have syncing in the background. I mean, I have tried with even Windows 10 Mobile with numerous devices with basically everything turned off. So basically, it's just a slab of technology running an OS, but not actually doing anything. And the life is much, much better. But some of the culprits for messaging and Skype, for example, that was up at about 17 to 18% of my entire battery consumption today. It's just on that one application. And that seems too high, given I've only received 2 text messages in the day. So there are clearly some applications which are culprits, which misbehave. And maybe you've just been lucky on that front.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't use Skype that much. It is pretty much always on. It's a backup for the missus and I. We often use it as a backup if we've not got a good signal. I do get quite a few text messages as well. So I would say that, whatever's happening with that, if the battery usage of the device is basing it on your own personal usage, which I know in some of these, say the email syncing it says that it will look at your usage and they'll use that. If it's using that, then I would still have relatively high messaging usage, perhaps not quite as much Skype usage. certainly, you know, everything else, the emails, they're coming through, you know, every 10 minutes or so at least. And that's, so that's syncing regularly. I have a news widget that sometimes plays up, to be fair, the old BBC News one. But that certainly syncs at least every half hour or so. And a couple of other widgets for various news sites. And they seem to update. Okay, so there seems to be quite a lot going on still. Yeah. I don't know. But you're right. I think one of the big issues, of course, is that, you know, Windows 8 was so far at the other side of things. Windows Phone 8 and 8.1 were almost too locked down for people, that there wouldn't be enough running in the background. And perhaps as a consequence, the battery life was that much better. And it certainly was a lot better, as I know your previous tests have shown. Obviously, we've gone almost to the other side of the pendulum now on something that's much nearer a personal computing operating system that perhaps is letting a lot more run in the background. And perhaps that's where they need to optimize things.
Yeah. Yeah. Another beef just from the last couple of days. My photos tile has stopped updating. It's basically just showing an empty space, and it has done. And whatever I do in terms of selecting the images to go in there, I've tried restarting, doing everything I can. It's just a waste of space on my start screen. It's so frustrating.
That is annoying. Mine occasionally does that, and it almost seems to be a trigger to say, hey, you've not used your camera in a while. But then it'll flip back. It'll only last for, say, you know, half an hour, an hour. So I'll look at my phone again, the same in the office, and I go, my favourites are back again. So I've not had it switch off for a while. Certainly I found with the tiles, resizing them, repinning them, can sometimes wake them up. Certainly when I refresh from a backup, there are a few shortcut tiles where they're basically links to websites where they put a little icon as the tile, and that was disappeared. But if you resized it, it kind of came back. But certainly that's the kind of thing that you would have think that in the old school of Windows Phone and Windows, they need to get back up to date, because that was one of the key selling points, the key US of the device, that live tile environment that's showing you all the new information at a glance. So hopefully they'll get that fixed soon.
Yeah, fun, this Windows 10 mobile, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I remember using the N8 and on old Symbian days, and you know, you'd pop up your keyboard, the whole screen would display nothing else but the keyboard, and it wasn't even a QWERTY keyboard at that. So getting used to running through the various different bits. I suppose we're perhaps seeing it at the two curves in Microsoft between where the technology is and where the business needs it to be. And perhaps as well, having seen, you know, the HP device and the talk of the Surface Phone, they've really thought, well, this is, as you put it, sort of a Google Nexus type device, almost still a semi-developer device for those who just love it and they're going to go out and buy it anyway, perhaps hence part of the pricing. And the real launch will be for the Surface in the autumn. Obviously, as you will know much better than I, the time that is involved between those, that transition is an age within mobile, you know, and there will be various iterations of all sorts of other systems that will need fallen further behind potentially in terms of apps. So and the app ecosystem is obviously one of the biggest issues they need to address.
Just to explain some of the glitches you heard there in Jason's audio, he's coming to us via 4G. It's a real experimental test of a smartphone road warrior lifestyle. So do bear with him while the connectivity up in Leeds sort of works its way out. We have had an email in from Richard Yates on the subject of which we want to come on to in this podcast, Jason, on Continuum. So before you get going with your experiences, this is Richard. He's been trying to use it out and about in the real world and hotels. And here's what he has to say. My experience so far has been frustrating. 6 different hotels, 6 covered HDMI ports. So I think the Road Warrior approach can discount hotels. The real question is this, says Richard, of the native Windows 10 devices, only the 950 and XL support Continuum. Why would a company supply its employees with a £300, £350, £400 phone when it could provide a cheap laptop and phone for less money, even running the full Windows 10, let alone Android or Chrome? It still seems like a technology demo looking for a problem. In 25 years of business, I've never ever seen a hot desk office, and in my job I visit lots of places. Will Continuum ever be more than a toy, he says. And I'm assuming, Jason, that I've kind of heard on the grapevine that you're a bit of a fan of Continuum, so I'm assuming you have had some experience of hot desking.
Yeah, and I think also what I also see as a lot in our office is docks for laptops. So in our office, we have lots of people who bring in a laptop from home, and they'll dock it, or other people, like myself, actually, I have a work laptop and then a network box in the office. So I think there's certainly a different situation there. I wouldn't, you know, I'd see using it in a hotel as something that I might do occasionally. So yeah, I would be upset that there wasn't an HDMI port, but I wouldn't be expecting it. I think for me that the greatest use would be both being able to use the phone as a phone in traveling, and then being able to come into the office and not have to carry a heavy laptop. You know, I have a bit of an achy back, so certainly carrying that even on the train is not something I really want to do. Being able to plug it into the office, a light device that I'm carrying with me, and then something that I can take out and carry on using, and still get the same experience and still get the connectivity. Because certainly from here in Leeds, coming down to London on a laptop, I'll take my laptop down and I'll maybe get 2 or 3 hours of use out of the whole there and back journey. And certainly it always seems to be worse on the way back. And when the connection drops, our security system will usually log you back out. So then you've got to wait for the connection to come back in, log back in again. And then you've got to up the Outlook and get everything up to that. And then you suddenly get back in, you'll type an email, and suddenly the connection will go. And so to me, being able to have, what is a pretty good smartphone that's certainly big enough to do in some pretty decent emails, you can do some bullets, you know, right? You might not want to do the fanciest PowerPoint presentation or do some macros in Excel on it, but you could certainly do plenty of all the email stuff that you need to do and know that you've got the connectivity there. Or if not, because it's all sat on the device, you could save it in drafts and it will just sync as and when you go, and you won't have to log back into a new security system. It personally would be an absolute boon, and certainly I would happily take a 950 as my main device, both for work in the office and out of the office, you know, any day of the week.
So you're talking a lot in the future tense.
Hesitate for the work sense.
Have you actually got a display dock there or a Miracast adapter?
Yeah, I've got the display dock when it was in office. I've used that a lot, and it's been really good for booking family holidays. We can all sit there and look at it. If I get a text message or an email coming in while the family are looking at a website on the TV, they can carry on looking, and I can carry on, you know, checking that email or text isn't anything particularly important, or respond to it if it is. So I found it really good, and it's and I was going to come on to your point, what if this is okay, about you made a good piece, I thought, about comparing it to PureView,
yeah,
and about how the technicalities of it, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean,
they might confuse consumers, just to finish that point. Yeah, both technical points. They were very, very, very cool technology, but actually trying to explain what was going on to consumers was almost impossible, and therefore people didn't get it, and they'd rather have a simpler but less sophisticated, less advanced solution.
Yeah, so you say that screen mirroring is almost the equivalent for a continuum, that's simpler and it's more understandable. I found it silly with my family. They didn't understand how it works, but they didn't really care. And I think that's perhaps what I would suggest is a potential difference, that with PureView, to explain to people why it is that when you zoom in, it's the same. You need to explain, well, when you zoom in on other pictures, you lose resolution. What's resolution? What do you mean? So you get into this technical discussion, whereas with continuum, I can just plug it in. They'll hear my phone go and say, oh, do we need to stop looking at this, Daddy? No, no, it's fine. You carry on. And I can just carry on using the device, and they don't really know how it works. Okay. They just know, oh, that's cool. I can carry on, look at the website, or I can carry on, reading whatever it is they're reading that's on the screen, on the bigger screen. So to me, I think it's almost, I would say, a bit like multitasking. That's my suggested analogy. I'd defer to your greater knowledge, but in the sense that most people don't really know what multitasking is. Perhaps I'll hold my hand up, and perhaps I'm to some extent in that camp. But most people know, on your device, you know, that a lot of Android users will know you need to shut things down. Or how do you shut things down? I don't know. Oh, you do this. So there's a sense that people they don't really understand what it is or how it's working, but they know that they need to do something about it. So their experience of using the phone or using the device isn't affected necessarily by how much technically they understand it. And I think for continuum, it kind of, in my experience at least, sits in that bag rather than in PureView, where to be able to explain how it's working, you need to actually go through the technicality of what it's actually doing.
Yeah. So what, when you use it in this context with your family, when you're out and about and away, and are you plugging in a keyboard and mouse, or are you going all wireless with the?
No, all wireless. And to be honest, I've used it mainly at home. Like I say, I've not had the opportunity as much to use it in out and about. Perhaps I will when we go away. And I think that's perhaps one of the differences that I see with it, that I see it in my, I can see using it in my daily life. And the other issue I would sort of raise that, you know, as much as I use my laptop and I love using it for lots of different things, and perhaps not quite as much of a home worker as perhaps as others. So I don't use it day to day. And in fact, it's almost become more of a device that I keep updating. And that's one of my other issues, that whenever I open up my laptop, it's like, oh, there's going to be an update to do to Windows. Better check that first before I go on the internet. It might be some sort of security issue, and I don't want to be open to that. Or if I open Office, a similar issue might occur. Whereas because my phone is the device that's with me all the time, it's always up to date. You know, if an update comes in during the working day, I know I can reschedule it for overnight, and then by the next morning it's there and it's up to date. So it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever seen those comedy pie charts that people used to do about Adobe Acrobat, whereas there's a very small slither of time that people spent using it and a very huge rest of the pie that was spent updating it. My laptop kind of sits in that category a bit now, to be honest. And if I had the only issue, certainly for home use, is if having the other screen. So if I had another screen that I could, when the kids are watching TV or the family watching TV, and I need to do a little bit of something on the laptop, then on another screen, I do use a laptop. If I had another screen I could connect by 950, which I am looking to get, then that would be a better solution.
What
I would
you
say.
Need is the HP Mobile Extender. Did you see this at MWC?
I haven't seen the extender. I've seen the demo of the phone. I've seen the next gen as well, which is another device that's on Indiegogo.
Yeah.
That's a similar sort of thing. Yeah, and that looks really, really interesting. Again, it takes away some of the weight issues you get, because you've just got a keyboard and a screen. Certainly for the next gen. I don't know, on the HP device, does that have a separate battery as well?
I'm assuming this mobile extender, yeah, which is kind of like a dumb laptop. It does have a battery, so you've got the weight of the battery. It's more a question of keeping the cost down, I think, because you haven't got to have all the chipset stuff and all the processors and GPUs. Everything's kind of driven, really, by Continuum, and you're just literally using a powered-up screen and a physical keyboard and a trackpad. And it looked very, very nice. But of course, you don't know pricing, and this HP stuff might be out of reach, or it may take months and months to arrive, but it looks very cool.
Yeah, and of course it may not come to consumer market. I know there's been talk of whether that stuff is all for business only, but yeah, to me that looks really, really interesting. I suppose when I think about it, there's a kind of Continuum experience, and I know I've heard you say probably correctly that the lack of having the same state saved within the device on Continuum, so that when you go back to it, it's still there, can be an issue. But I suppose for me, I'm seeing my 950 as the device I'm using all the time. So if I've read an email, or if I've seen something I need to action, I need to then go into Word to do it, I'd want to be able to put it onto the bigger screen, connect the keyboard, and then do something with that and have it flow in that sense, knowing that I've got all the same documents still available on that same device without having to connect into another portal.
And to be fair, if say you hook up to Continuum from your 950 or 950 XL and you get the big Windows 10 sort of start screen, and nothing is shown in the sort of the alt tab area in the system tray at the bottom. But if you then tap on or click on, depending on how you're doing it, Outlook Mail, for example, or Outlook Calendar, this is all running on the phone via Continuum. It will pop up more or less immediately because it is still in RAM running and in a pretty decent state because you've just been using it on the phone. So although it doesn't actually show you all the applications you have been using recently, it doesn't cherry pick from the multitasking carousel off the phone, at least not yet. If you do actually click on something there, tap on something there, it will appear more or less instantaneously because it is still running on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. And that to me is the kind of the beauty of it, that it's having that one device that does everything. So certainly, you know, for me, I know my employer is looking towards Windows 10, and I would be very keen to be a trialer of this and being able to use it, because certainly for me, as I say, occasional travel to London, lugging a laptop, it is that bit heavier. The time that I spend trying to connect to it is just inordinate, when if I had the single device, you know, it would literally double my productivity. You know, hate to use that slight Microsoft phrase there, but it's true.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you think about it, most people spend, well, certainly when I go out and about on a work trip, say to London, I get my laptop out and I then spend the first 15 minutes trying to hook up to the internet by Bluetooth or Wi-Fi tethering or via the train Wi-Fi. And it's quite often that goes horribly wrong. If you've just got the phone and it's by very its nature, it's on 3.5 or 4G, then who cares what the rest of the world does? You've got your CPU and your OS and everything's driving whichever screen you choose to use. And it's all just there and it's always connected.
Yeah, and the other big hurdle that we have working for government as well, and presume lots of other companies have it, is the security angle as well, that you're not just having to log into the Wi-Fi or whatever connection you're taking, you're having to then log into another system that as soon as that connection drops, it will lock out the security again, so you will then have to do the double stage login yet again. So it really is an absolute bugbear, and the times when I haven't taken my laptop down to London because I thought, well, I just don't know. There's just nothing that urgent I have to do. I'll just have to do without, because the amount of time it spends lugging it around isn't worth it. Whereas if I did have the phone, as I say, I wouldn't have to worry about that because obviously the security would be built in. It will be already part of the system that's been bought. But also, if there was a connectivity drop, I know that things would just sit in the Outlook draft because that is an app on the phone rather than being part of the security system. And as soon as it got ready to send, it would send. When I saw Continuum, for me, certainly it's probably dropped my laptop use off quite a lot because I'm just waiting for it. And I should say as well, we do, you know, there's lots of BlackBerries used as well. But for me, the BlackBerry, it isn't the kind of device that I like using personally. I'm not a big fan of that physical QWERTY keyboard. It's something I never really got into. And also, because it is a separate device, there are synchronization issues between using that and then using your office network that do mean that you don't get that inverted commas continuing experience. You know, emails saved on draft on the BlackBerry don't get replicated over to the office system.
Yeah. Just go back to Continuum one last time. Loads of applications still aren't compatible. That's probably one of my biggest bugbears, is that I click on the start thing in the bottom left of the Windows 10 Continuum screen, and there's my phone's start thing, and I can scroll up and down. But half of those tiles are greyed out because they're not fully Continuum compatible. If you then sort of swipe left or click right into the full app list, something like 80% of the items in my list, certainly on my Lumia 950, are greyed out when I'm using Continuum. They're not compatible with that, you know, universal application interface, and they don't appear at all. They can't be used at all on Continuum. I have to feel that that has got to change fairly soon if Continuum is going to take off, because right now, to lose 80% of my apps is just too big a sacrifice.
Yeah, that's true. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, and I know this touches on points others have made, that in some ways it'd be an interesting point, because it's often said that one of the issues of the Windows 10 strategy is that trying to build the app ecosystem from a laptop base isn't going to work from a PC base, I should say. You're not going to get that plethora of apps because people just use the internet to access Netflix, YouTube, whatever it may be. So I wonder if there's something of a possible win if the Microsoft Edge application, if that web browser can use those applications, as many of it can, if that can replicate onto your screen, is there almost an argument? So, well, do you need a YouTube app if you're seeing your Continuum device as you would your PC device, and thus you're expecting to use the internet to do it? I'm not sure where that lies, because it probably for most people it does seem more like a tablet than you would expect an application for it. So I wonder if that is a possible benefit. But I would say you're dead right. When I first plugged it in, that's one thing, is that the first thing that got me, and annoyingly I was using a grey theme as well, which didn't help. So when things were greyed out, I was like, is that greyed out? No, it's just greyed out because it's not working. It's not the theme. I should choose a different theme there. But certainly, you know, a lot of things I've used for obviously are the sort of core apps of Outlook and browsing and messaging that do work on Continuum. And yes, you know, if you think about hooking it up, one of the first apps I'd think about, Netflix, you know, you want to get Netflix working on there, and YouTube, and those apps that are obviously designed to go on the bigger screen and would benefit from it.
I think it's just down to the developers, really, and at Microsoft training developers that when they actually build their universal applications, they build them to be Continuum compatible. And so far, that doesn't seem to be the case. If an application is universal, i.e. a UWP, that doesn't necessarily mean it will be not grayed out in Continuum. And I think that needs to change. And hopefully, that's just a matter of Microsoft improving the tools and improving developer education.
Yeah, and perhaps it comes back, perhaps there's a role there. I know you've done pieces on store monitoring and what people are doing to monitor duplicates in store. Perhaps there's a role there for people in the store to be looking at apps and saying, well, hang on, you've developed this app, and yes, it's a universal app, but you've not made it continuum compatible, and actually it looks like it would be very good for that. You know, or even as a blanket reminder, you know, say, look, remember, you need to do this to be able to make it continuum compatible, because certainly there's always going to be that level of feedback to be able to give to developers, particularly those who perhaps, let's face it, might putting all the resources into developing the Windows app, and perhaps therefore aren't as genned up to know about all the different tick boxes and bits and pieces you can make sure that it works on different devices.
Yeah, you know, if people there at home listening to this are getting fed up, we're talking all the time, Rafe and I and Jason and other guests, about Windows 10 Mobile. And when we were AAWP, we're all about Windows for phones. We have to face it, Windows Phone 8.1, wonderful though it is actually, it's evolving, and it's evolving into Windows 10 Mobile. And this is kind of the future. So that's why we're spending the time.
Yeah, if I could interject, I'd suggest as well you could fully acronymize your the name as well. It isn't, but it should be. No, I was thinking, see, AWP, which is what you are now, you could change to All About Windows on Phones, which would be AWP or AWP, which is obviously, you know, much more desirable to, you know, I'm sure, you know, could just put little O there between the W and P and nobody would know.
I have to ask at this point, have you been on the secret sauce? No, no, no.
No. I swear, not even a glass of wine with dinner.
All right, anyway. It's been great having you on as a guest. Where can people find you online? Have you got anything you want to plug?
Do you know what? I haven't, though. I am on Twitter occasionally, and I am on the dreaded Facebook. I've got relatives in Australia. That's my reason. Please forgive me. So, yeah, certainly happy to hear people feedback and interesting to hear other people's experiences, and hope this has been something useful, interesting for people to hear as a different view.
Yeah, and what's your Twitter handle?
It's at Jason Snowden. I got in there early.
Just like me. Anyway, lovely to talk to you, and hopefully we'll get you on a guest again sometime in the future, next time Rafe is
that'd be fantastic away. I'd be honoured to come on a second time.
Lovely. All right, thanks ever so much. Bye for now.
Thanks, Steve. See you. Bye.